I'm Jeannie Holzbacher, and on behalf of myself and my fabulous co-host, Jill Wright, we want to welcome you to Executive Shine, Conversations That Count. We search the planet to bring you some of the most dynamic leaders in various industries who often only have one thing in common: uncommonly outrageous positive impact on people and businesses. They are leaving this world a much better place. So kick back and join us. Grab a few insights you can immediately apply to leverage your leadership and foster greater connection in a world that's become increasingly disconnected. They so desperately need you to shine your light bright. Cheers. Hello and happy Thursday, March 18th of St. Patrick's Week, everyone. We're excited to have a kickback, different, casual show tonight. This is intentional. It's a no makeup Jeannie in her kitchen rather than in her office, because it's matching the dialogue that Jill and I are going to have tonight. And it's a dialogue. Let me back up a little. Jill got us a consulting opportunity a few weeks ago. So we have been friends for a while. We've done everything virtual online, but this was the first time we had a chance to actually meet in person. And it was a combination of me bringing my background and my corporate experience with her bringing her background and running her company in the airports into one place at the same time for the first time. And I don't know about you, Jill, but first of all, the people that we had an opportunity to work with were off the charts phenomenal. But secondly, it revolutionized some things for me.
Well, and I think it spoiled me to death. I never want to work with anyone that's not as great as they are. So that's up-leveled my standards for clients. Like, I don't ever want a client that's not as tapped in, as aware, and as committed to the impact of their organization and committed to their people and really bringing out the best in their people. And it was a wonderful experience, Jeannie. I learned a lot of things.
So we got to go in with this company, and what we got to do, they do sales and marketing and financial services. And what we got to do is Jill got to bring her shoe shine company experience on how she's been able to keep loyal employees for 20 and 30 years and bring the whole concept into their experience. They got to shine each other's shoes. I'm going to tell you, my favorite part was when they brought out that little torch thing, because, you know, I'm a pyromaniac. When they brought out and they started torching the shoes, I'm like, whoa, we're on to something here. And then after they finished, she actually simulated an actual experience shining someone's shoes. And there's a specific step-by-step process. And as she went through each step, she also took it and applied it to their business and what they do. And it was pretty powerful. And then some of her staff were with us, helping us. And they spoiled us. Let's put it that way. They spoiled us. I had my first ever traditional Ethiopian meal. And it was full out hospitality like I've never experienced. Thank you, Zaid. And additionally, I got to come in and bring some of my communication pieces, because for me, I live and breathe anything I can do to help myself and others grow in their communication. So, you know, Jill, there were several things that stood out to me in addition to Zaid's great sense of humor. And you are a lot more funny than you try to let on as well. But I think that one of the first things that stood out to me was after we finished the event, it was beyond a business experience. It ended up being like a powerful spiritual experience. And when one of the attendees came up to us and we said, what did you notice? And they were sharing their observations. And one of the things they said was, there's no hierarchy. You can't tell who's who by their title among the group. That was number one. Number two was when someone came up to me and said, you know, what you guys did today was so powerful. And I want to thank you for giving me permission to be myself. That was pretty powerful too.
Absolutely. And that's, I think, the biggest thing that for me, I don't ever want anybody telling me what to do. So I've been a rebel since birth. And so I don't ever want to do that to my people. Mm-hmm. And for me, the development of the unique gifts of my people is what expands the attractiveness. I'm lost for words at the moment, but that's what attracts people to my business, is the fact that we have so many different people that all operate fully honoring their gifts. And because of that energy, that everybody that comes into our airspace is then safe, because we honor gifts, we honor uniqueness. And so if you come in with us, you automatically get that extended to you. So we're looking for what's good about you. We're looking for all of the good things that you can add to the collection, you know, the collective soup of the energy of our business. And because of that, I think people feel seen. I think they feel a sense of belonging. And they're also honored for those unique gifts. And like, nobody does that in the corporate world. That's the difference.
And so I'm sitting there and I'm watching all this, and I'm very much from a high profile corporate world. And what I did was I came back, and I've been saying for a year plus, less is more, but I don't know that I fully lived it. So what I've done is I have radically intentionally slowed down. I've gone on a major physical detox. That's why I'm not wearing any makeup. That's why I'm in my kitchen drinking my water, because I am actually in the process of doing a revolutionary physical transformation that's also having an emotional and spiritual impact. And I think that when we came back, that was a big takeaway for me, was there's nothing like being your authentic self. And there's nothing like living in that energy signature every day. And I think in the busyness with COVID, some businesses shut down. Mine went through a different experience. My business didn't shut down, but my workload doubled, but the pressures doubled as well. And we've been so busy rushing from one thing to another this past year, is that we've lost much of our ability to slow down and think deeply. And so I'm being very countercultural this week. And I'm doing exactly that, even though there are many pressures fighting and trying to make me resist doing that. I'm holding my ground.
That's so good. So good. And I think when you stop the busyness, I think the busyness is what keeps us from really connecting with ourselves.
Absolutely.
And so when you create an environment where it's safe for people to be fully expressed and be their authentic self, and you honor and develop those gifts, and then you kind of even push them to expand on their gifts a little bit, you know, you empower them, you trust them with responsibilities that are just a teeny bit past what they think they're capable of doing. And when they accomplish those things, they have such a fulfilled feeling. And when you see that, and you're the one that just gave them that extra push to discover something about themselves that they didn't ever know anymore, and then when you recognize that about them, that's engagement. They don't leave that sense of safety, that belonging, that freedom to just express who they really are. And that's so important, I think, in any business. And when we take the time to put the busyness aside and connect with what's really important to us and what's life-giving to us, you know, then that's when we start to really grow, I think, as human beings.
It was sad for me to hear, you know, one gentleman that was in there, he said he was so blown away by that day. He said he was burned out by church, and he hadn't stepped foot inside a church for a year. And our event with him was like a really spiritually renewing experience. it reminded him that Jesus didn't come as a CEO, like you said, but as a carpenter. And when I think about that, I also think about the fact that in they mentioned a couple of people that had committed suicide this year. A couple of gentlemen they knew, problems with marriage, problems with business, COVID hit, and they just didn't have what it take to sustain it. And I think our minds and our hearts and our spirits, our minds are pretty nutritionally starving. We are so overloaded. I mean, my device, I have to walk away from it. I can get pinged 6 times in an hour. It almost starts creating a serotonin rush and release, and we become addicted to our devices, and we are, without realizing it, training ourselves not to process information, but to jump to quick reactive solutions. And what I learned with I'm going to ask you your biggest learning this week. But for me, my biggest learning has been how much doing that actually can cause, believe it or not, brain damage. Because we stop being in touch with who we are, and we're living in this constant cognitive dissonance of, man, I'm feeling pulled in two simultaneous directions. We never stop to evaluate why that is. And we end up causing more emotional and spiritual damage to ourselves by suppressing it. That's where addictions come in.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was your biggest aha this week?
Well, a couple things. I knew that going through this experience for them, I knew the giving of the service part is not the difficult part. People think, oh, that's going to be hard. How am I going to do that? That's not the hard part. The hard part is the receiving.
Oh, gosh. Now you're hitting it.
And when we...
So everybody was able to do the shoe shine on someone else. But sitting back and taking it. I had the same experience with your guy, Gay, too, in the North Carolina airport.
That's the tough thing. And I think so many of us give, and we give from a pure place, but are we giving to protect ourselves? I mean, there's reasons for that. Are we giving to be busy so that we don't have time to really receive and really look at our own things? Are we giving to stay busy? Are we giving to look good? Are we, you know, why are we doing those things? So when we take time to think about that, and then we think about, wow, what is in receiving, you have to feel that you have to touch that little worthiness button. And that's touchy. And so in receiving, you have to allow someone to give to you. And that's a whole nother level. And one of the things that one of the women said that really touched me is that she felt like self-conscious receiving. And she thought, oh, you know, like, am I good enough? Do I, you know, are my shoes dirty? Do I look good? You know, like, so being vulnerable, she felt vulnerable. And she said what it taught her is how vulnerable the clients feel when you come in to do work with them. And it doesn't matter what the business is, when you're entering into someone's workplace, their life place, their personal space, you really need to be aware and extra compassionate, because you're really treading on some hallowed ground with people. So if you can learn that lesson to really amp up the compassion when you're going in to work with someone, I think that takes you to a whole nother level, and people aren't even aware that that's possible.
I think it's compassion. I agree. And it is true that when you're on the receiving end, you're in the vulnerable spot, and vulnerability is scary for people who have been burned in trust. But I also think empathy alongside compassion can link arms. And those are the two things that I feel are most missing in leadership. Or maybe they're not missing as much as they're not understood how to execute them and share them. It's not that people don't have it within them. Many people do. It's that they haven't learned how to harness it and be accepted and okay with that in leadership.
Well, because have they done it for themselves?
Every issue I have with somebody else usually ends up being a mirror reflection of my own with me, you know? So it's kind of like when I was looking at some stuff today, because I'm doing journaling, I'm doing the whole shebang, people. And when I was doing the journaling, on day one, I had issues with person A and person B. But guess what? We're in day three and the issue's me.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And it's not easy to look at.
No, but it's so rewarding once you get through the muck.
Absolutely.
And wait till y'all see me glowing like a nightlight next week.
She looks good, people. You don't know. I mean, she doesn't have any makeup on, but the vitality and the clarity, I think, in your skin and your energy. I mean, I'm excited.
You know, the truth is this. I had a health scare. And you know that. I had a really big health scare hit me this week. And I chose, rather than to live in fear, I chose to see it as a gift. And say, listen, this is my body. This is my temple. I own it. And here's how this is going to go. I write the script.
Exactly. Exactly. And that choice in how you're going to handle something and what you're going to look like is looking like there within every situation, there's a gift. And so sometimes you have to get through the muck to get to the gift, but that's where the real joy comes from. That's where the learning is. And you have to be willing to do that. It's not easy. I've been going through that for my own self.
You know what the alternative is, Jill? The alternative is to keep numbing, whether it's in gambling, shopping, food, sex, drinking, drugs, whatever. The alternative is when it's going to go somewhere. So you get to pick. We are all in control. We're not victims, even though we sometimes feel like it. It's not the truth. The truth is we are in control, and we decide whether we're going to react passively and just numb the pain or whether we're going to face it. One of my favorite movies is, I don't know if you've ever seen Shawshank Redemption.
No, I haven't. I've heard of it, but I'm not a big movie buff.
Okay, so Morgan Freeman has a line in there that says, you got to get busy living or get busy dying. Well, anyway, Andy Dufresne is the character that what's his name plays. I can't remember the actor's name. All of a sudden I'm drawing a blank. Tim somebody, I think. And anyway, in the end, he escapes prison. And how he does it is he had drilled a hole working year after long time chiseling away in his room and then putting the poster up at night so the guards never saw it. And eventually he drilled a hole all the way to the sewer system that carried him out to freedom. And the funny part is he said he had to climb through 500 piles of manure to come out clean on the other side. And that is a metaphor for life, is it not?
Totally. Totally. And I think that even during this COVID experience, that's what it's brought up for us. You know what? We slowed down. We were very disconnected, you know, from the busyness, from the normal office, you know, and communities that we were involved in. And we had a chance to really look and go through those manure piles and clear out some of that stuff so that we could really move forward in doing what is really meaningful. That's what I've seen with people is they don't want to go back to what was normal. They want to go through life with meaning, and they want to make impact, and they want to have real authentic connection, and they want to have that everywhere. You know, not just at home with your family, you want to have it everywhere.
You do. And what is the difference between authentic and inauthentic connection?
Well, I think on your phone, on Facebook, on things like that. I think that
Fakebook?
Is
on Fakebook.
Yes, on Fakebook. That's all so surface. It's just like you not having makeup on. It's taking the mask off and being like who you really are. And when you do that, you give everyone in your airspace permission to be the same thing. And that's so freeing for people.
You know what else is freeing? The willingness to be rejected. I'm telling you, that learning to see failure as your friend and learning to risk rejection, man, those are two of the biggest power hits you could ever accomplish.
Absolutely. And not easy. But when you learn that the only person that you need to be in integrity with is yourself, and that when you are in integrity with yourself and then your word actually means something, then your word means something with every...
And doesn't it come out of every pore of your being?
Absolutely. You feel it with people. Like when you met, you know, that's why I was so excited for you to get to meet my people, because I just have the greatest people that work with me on the planet. I mean, they are the best. And so, but you wouldn't, she doesn't necessarily think so. You know, this is like a corporate person coming in and I'm saying.
I'm coming in though. Let's set the scene. I'm coming in. Okay. I walked 2 freaking miles in the not most comfortable shoes. Jill says, don't worry, Jeannie, just ride here. I said, what do you mean ride here, Jill? Ride to the shoe shine place. And she just get on the walkway and ride it. So every walkway I come to is broken or under construction. So Jill calls me, Jeannie, where are you? I said, I'm still coming. So Jill calls me, Jeannie, should I send out a search party? I said, I'm still coming. There's no walkways. So I got there, a little crabby, hauling my stuff. By the time tired, thirsty, hadn't had anything to eat or drink in 12 hours all day since I got up, the first thing they do is they sit me in a chair and Gay 2 goes to town on my shoes. All right. I'm really uncomfortable. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm crabby. Jill, I'm dying of thirst. Jill's getting me a smoothie. After a couple of minutes, I'm like, okay, he's not going away, so I might need to get used to this. And then he starts doing his thing a little bit more. And then I start looking and I'm like, you know, this is kind of cool. Then he pulls out the torch and I'm in because now he's got my pyromaniac thing going. And he was just so kind and so sweet. But I'm going to tell you something. Not only did I go from uncomfortable because I felt vulnerable with a stranger who was shining my shoes, which is very humbling. But then while I was sitting there, as I was finishing up, they were closing up shop because you and I and Tara and everybody were going to go to Gay 2's to have our Ethiopian feast. And while I was we were closing up shop, some guy comes over and says, are you all closed? And Jill goes, no. She opens everything back up. He pops up there. And I watched the magic happen with Antonio, who's hot as can be. If you ever go to the North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, what's it called, Jill?
Charlotte Douglas Airport. And we're right in front. Well, we're on the A, the E, and the D concourse, but okay. Antonio works on D.
And so you give Gay 2 a love hug, and then you tell Antonio to pull down that mask. He is hot. I'm telling you, people, he is hot. And then I watch Antonio, I'm just like, dang, that mask is covering up something there. There's some eye candy waiting for me. And so this guy next to me is getting his shoes shined by Antonio, and he starts talking and his story starts unfolding because the energy made it safe for that to happen. And first of all, his shoes were ugly. Secondly, his story comes unfolded as he's a stage 4 cancer survivor and he's got horses like Jill and he has all this stuff to share that we resonated with. We were on the same page philosophically in life. And it just was amazing, 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 this man was. And then when he finished, his shoes that were ugly were gorgeous, and even he had to take a picture of them. And he walks away and hands Antonio a $100 tip. He was just about to have a baby in July. Well, it's not him. But. And I'm like, I just watched this whole thing go down. Are you closed? No, we opened back up real quick. do this, do that, give a little love, give a little this. Who would have thunk that serving him would end up serving Antonio? But so it did.
Exactly. And that's the whole concept. That's why we have the concept, whatever makes you feel good, because we don't have a set price. We just tell people whatever makes you feel good, because we have that give model. So we gave everything we had to that customer. And then in turn, that created that safety for him to tell us his story and us to build relationship and talk about all of these things that we had in common. And it was just a wonderful experience. And by the time he was done, I felt like he was my friend and we should have invited him over for dinner.
Yeah, he should have had some Ethiopian injera bread with us.
Exactly. And so, but that's what it's about. That's what serving is about, is building comfort with people so that they feel safe and creating that energy so that they want to come there because they felt so good and they felt seen and they felt a sense of belonging when they were with you. So if you can create that kind of energy, whether you're at if I can do it at a shoeshine stand, my God, you can certainly do it in an office or with
an ice cream shape in a shop and in an office building and a healthcare company, you name it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it looks like we are almost time for commercial. So let's continue this fireside chat in a minute after our little commercial.
Are you sick and tired of being tired? Are you tired of your clothes not fitting the way you want them to? Are you frustrated when you look at that number on the scale? Seeing the number on the scale can be frustrating. Imagine a whole new generation of products that focus on what really counts, body composition. We have introduced an innovative trio of products that focus on fat loss and body composition, more muscle, less fat. This is the first in the world combination to reduce fat loss. It accelerates fat reduction, reduces fat cell size, reduces fat cell formation, improves muscle tone, boosts metabolism, burns more calories, and promotes lean body composition. This lean body system is the game changer you've been looking for. Go to trimwithus.com for $10 off on your first order today.
All right. We are back from commercial. We're talking about connection. We're talking about things that give life. We're talking about authentically stepping into yourself. So in doing that conversation and in talking about some of the people I got to meet and we got to spend time with this past week and last week, it seems like it was yesterday, and in one sense it seems like it was already a month ago, because life is moving at a fast pace even though I'm forcing it to slow down. So what do you think, Jill? You're sitting in front of, say, the President of the United States, and he says, Jill Wright, I went to your shoe shine company. We have got to revitalize businesses post-COVID. So many were shut down. So many people have taken a hit. Is there anything we can offer people besides a handout from the government? What would your answer be?
I think we need to teach them to authentically connect and serve each other. And to look at business as a vehicle to deliver impact, instead of only for profit. Because, you know, the people who've been delivering impact, the people that have been making a big difference, those are the ones that have the really loyal customers that are still with them. They're the ones that are supporting them. And so if we can move beyond business only being for profit. Now, I love profit, don't get me wrong, but it comes based on the impact. So yeah. For us, the more impact we make on people, if that customer, if we had just sat him down and just traditionally took care of him and not engaged with him, and that's why I'm working on my book called Soul to Soul. Because that's what it is. It's the power of connection that opens people up. And I have seen so many miracles happen between employee. I've had three of my people that customers have paid for their college education. Their whole college education.
No. One of my favorite stories about your people is that you're just, you know, Gay 2 is doing his thing there. And he, you know, it's not uncommon for big executives and high powered individuals with influence to show up in your shoeshine stand. And Gay 2 has a pretty powerful story himself from coming from Ethiopia and being a refugee and being a slave for 7 years and all, or however many years and all that. He has a pretty powerful story. And he was sharing and talking with one of the customers who he was shining shoes from. And the guy's like, "This is amazing. Will you come talk to my company?" And Gay 2, who's as pure as can be, says, "Sure." And then he tells you about a month later, "Jill, there's this one of our customers had me come speak at his company." And then you finish this story, Jill.
So he tells me this customer had asked me to come and talk at his company. So I'm thinking he went to Rotary, you know, he went to a car dealership, he went somewhere, you know, maybe he went even to Bank of America. Their headquarters is in Charlotte.
In typical Gay 2 style,
he says, "I don't know, Jill, Big M." And he says, "I have his card in my wallet." And I'm looking and it's like, "Oh my God, Gay 2. So he went and spoke at the Microsoft big annual meeting.
And all he did is he opened the door and says there's like 1,000 people there.
And he's like, "Oh my goodness." And he doesn't care. He doesn't know. He just went in and shared his heart. And that's the thing, you know, in answer to
these Microsoft executives are balling their eyes out.
And it's amazing. And then they wanted to pay him. And he said, no, you could just give the money to the church. So they were wonderful to him. And so that's what I think needs to happen is people need to really connect with other people as human beings. And that's what we have the opportunity to do. It's like when you're sick, you never realize how much you want to be well until you're sick.
That's right.
So you never realize how much you really value the power of human connection until you don't have it anymore.
And you never realize how much you want to be loved until you experience that rejection of not being loved.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm sorry, but that's what it's all about. You know, I tell people if I were to put a sign up that said our tagline is Executive Shine, it's all about the love. But if I were to put a sign up that said love available here, people would be like, "Oh no, that's a soft skill. You know, that's too much for me. No. You know, they would have had resistance. But that's where business is kind of a secret way to really love people, to connect with people, to make an impact. I don't care if you are selling an Apple computer or a personal service or shining shoes or you're a nurse or a doctor or whatever you're doing. If you're doing it from your heart and you're really authentically care about the person in front of you, you're making a difference. You're making a life-changing difference. Do you remember the story that Gay 2 was talking about when his customer was in his chair? Regular customer, CEO, major corporation, in his chair, and he's not himself. And Gay 2 said, "Are you okay? Like, you don't seem yourself today, you know?" And he said, "No, Gay 2, I'm not." He said, "In the past week, two of my very good friends have committed suicide. Two, one in Germany, one in New York. In 2008, when the market crashed, both of them committed suicide." And Gay 2 said in his spirit, he felt, "Don't do it, man. Don't do it." You know, he could feel that CEO was going through the same kind of feelings because he was on his way to do a big layoff within his company. And we didn't know that. And so Gaytu is just serving him really purely from his heart. And he said, hey, man, can I pray with you? And so when he got done, he just prayed with his customer and then said goodbye and sent him on his way. And he didn't see him for many months. And he was a regular. He used to see him, you know, once a week or once every couple of weeks. So we really got worried. But he finally saw him and he came back and he told him, Gaytu, on that day, you don't know, but I was on my way to lay off the people in my company because business had just been so bad. And with the crash of the market, I didn't know if we were going to be able to survive. And he said, and my friends had committed suicide and I was going to, you know, I was thinking about doing that. And he said, but you really made the difference. You really turned it around. So when I say business is a love delivery system, business, the reason you are in business is to make an impact. That's what I'm talking about. And so if we can make a little impact in our little corner of the world, I would say, Mr. President, teach people to focus on impact. Let's make a difference. Let's be there for each other. Let's have empathy, compassion, caring. Let's take care of each other. Let's listen to each other. That's one of the things that happens within a corporation is that all of the solutions are available within the corporation. The people doing jobs, like, would you say that, Jeannie? Like, there's so many things that you know, and you have a good CEO that does reach out to you and ask for those things. But so many people don't, and they don't experience what happens in the factory, what happens within the cubicle, what happens within the company. There's the people doing the work are the ones that have the solutions.
Always.
So if they can tap in to their people and listen and honor and discover the genius, make it safe for the people within the company to give solutions. Pay the people within your company to give you the solutions. Don't pay a big consulting firm to come in from outside the company and give you a solution. They don't know. They haven't walked in your shoes. They have some principles. They have some things that are really valuable. But they can work together with the team that's doing the work to really build solutions for success for your company.
Yeah, I think leaders today are so incredibly isolated too. They're so incredibly isolated and they need a safe place to land. And that sometimes might be at your shoe shine stand, and that sometimes might be at our monthly mastermind. But they need a safe place where they can be who they authentically are, where they can share their fears and their concerns and be okay.
Exactly. That's what I've experienced. I mean, we see that so often in the mastermind. And that's why that is a sacred place. You know, so that's the place that they can come and really share what's going on and get feedback from other executives and where we have that conversation. So that they can see, like, wow, I'm not alone. And that sounds funny. You think that high-level people, for some reason, don't need other people. But they do. They need people that are going to listen. They need people that are going to relate. They need people that are going to push them to a higher level. All of those things are important for them. Mm-hmm. But that safe space where they can just be and take the mask off and say, I'm tired. You know, I need support. I need answers. I need this. I need to talk to someone about this. I can't talk to anyone. You don't know how many, for 30 years, I've heard this conversation. I can't talk to anybody within my organization because I can't be vulnerable with them. I can't be vulnerable with my wife. Because I don't want her to know I'm not the man of, you know, that can do anything. I'm not Superman. I can't be vulnerable with my friends because I don't want them to know that I'm not superhuman. So they're vulnerable with the bartender, the hairdresser, the shoeshine person. You don't know the things I've heard. Some of it's a little scary, but it's just that safety, that safe place to really just be themselves. And they know their own answers. They just need somebody to reflect it back to them. They need to just dialogue. And that's what we do in the mastermind. But that's why it's so effective. It's not like I have the world's answers, but I do have a safe place. And I am a reflection for you to be able to show you that you do have the answers. You just need somebody to reflect it back to you, because what you said was brilliant.
True. They do have a lot of it. And I think also, when I think about my experience, I haven't been at the shoeshine place with them, but where I've been is at the deathbed. And some of these high-powered individuals have a lot of unresolved things that they need to confess. So some of these high-powered individuals have a lot of things that they want to confess. And in the process of it, they end up dumping all of that stuff out in their safe zone, whether it's with me, whether it's with a chaplain or a social worker, they end up dumping it out. And my goal is to get to them long before that, so they can dump that out early, so they can live as fully as possible for as long as possible.
Yeah. That safe space is absolutely critical. And to be able to have those tough conversations with someone who has empathy and compassion on the other end.
So that's it in a nutshell. I mean, what would you say before we wrap up today? Jill, what's your biggest aha from this week that you want to share with the world that they could use to impact someone tomorrow?
I think the biggest aha is to practice receiving. And also, one of the exercises we did was shift from your head to your heart. And for me, I noticed that when I'm stressed and when I'm I can create a story in my head and I'm going all of this, you know, fear, judgment, all of those really critical emotions, they live in your head. They don't live in your heart. So when you show up and you catch yourself and you're like, wait a minute, you know, I need to go back to my heart, be fully present, and really allow myself to listen and to receive and to give from that really authentic place, then that's when I'm making the difference in the world that I'm committed to make. And so it's catching myself in doing all of those things and really, really paying attention. So I think that's my biggest takeaway from this week.
One of mine is find something to do for somebody just because, whether it's going through the Starbucks line and paying for the person's coffee behind you, whether it's sending somebody flowers or chocolates that's going through a rough time, it doesn't have to be expensive or big, just the act of doing something for someone just because you can out of gratitude with no expectation of anything in return. That was my most fun moment this week. And so I think between learning to receive, staying connected to what's in your heart and get out of your head, it's not a big distance, but sometimes it takes a long time to get there. And then finding a way to express gratitude for someone. You do those three things this week, you're going to be having a jamming week over the next week. I guarantee it.
Absolutely. And also, we had such a great conversation with Dr. Jackie last week about really paying attention to what is life-giving. Mm-hmm. And really keeping that in your focus. You know, what feels life-giving to me right now? Mm-hmm. And finding out for the people that are close around you, what feels life-giving to you? You know, what can I do that can give you a little bit of extra love today? Just a little bit of extra energy, just like what you were saying, like what random act of kindness can you do? That might be a hug. That might be not a hug. Just depends, you know? But find out, listen to the people around you. Listen to what's important to them. And listen in your heart and what's important to you. And what feels like life to you. And like we had a conversation about this last week, write those things down. I remember I had a foster child years ago. And he was always depressed and frustrated. And I said, you have to choose your attitude. So you have to choose things that make you happy and choose things that make you feel good. Choose things that are life-giving. And we wrote those things down. And you know me and my best friend, the laminating machine. And we laminated those things. And I made like 8 copies of them. And I had him put them in his pocket. And everywhere he went, on his mirror, in his car, everywhere. So that he could remember what was life-giving. And that when he got down to be able to focus on those things and then to think about giving life to other people too, because that's one of the greatest gifts.
And on that note, that wraps up this week's episode of Executive Shine Conversations That Count. Thank you so much.
And next week, we have Dr. Dale Foster and Dr. Leanne Foster, and they are incredible people, the neuroscience of happiness. So I'll look forward to seeing you all next week.